Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom NLI Radio and Cowboy Wisdom NLI Coaching and NLI stands for Neurolinguistic Innovation. Tonight we're going to expand your editing prowess. Go open your mind to ghost writings about, and we're going to talk with our author, Amy Ligner, in her new book, The Sapphire Storm, The Gilded Wings, Lowry 13, and many more things. But we're going to also enlighten you on publishing. Amy was also in publishing for 20 years. And without any further ado, I'm going to bring on a bright, beautiful editor, Amy Ligner. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very excellent. Because you're my guest, good. And we're going to talk about my favorite thing, writing books.
That's my favorite subject.
You're also very good at it. Amy edits my books, so sorry for when she gets
yes, that is one of No. If you want to get there, don't gasp when you see a book because, you know, working with the author and putting it together and cleaning it up is not that hard once you really sink your teeth in it.
Let's talk about The Sapphire Storm, your new book. Tell people what that book is. And we can get all your books at the right Amazon.com. So tell us about The Sapphire Storm.
Well, The Sapphire Storm is the second novel in the Talent and Lowry series. For people who are looking that up, talent is spelled with two L's. And it's Talent and Lowry, and it is an adventure series, suspense, and romance, all those things all into one. And Sapphire Storm is the second adventure. The first one was called 13, and that is when they first got together and a puzzle was put together that included everything from the haunted mansion called the Winchester House in California all the way to Whitechapel and Jack the Ripper World and all over the place. Sort of Da Vinci Code meets National Treasure. Number two, The Sapphire Storm, that just came out. And that adventure is going to take them from Petra and to puzzle. Let's Petra together with various items from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's going to move into a whole different world, all the way to Mount Ararat. And a saint passed on a long time ago, of course. His name was Saint Gregory. And there's a whole story about him and a whole legend. And others that uncover the legend. So it's very exciting. And the third one has just passed into the publisher, and that's going to be a whole legend about Athena, and going to link with all kinds of things. So it's fun. Each one is its own little puzzle.
And also, anybody wants to ask Amy questions or learn about editing, our ghostwriting, our publishing, it's 718-305-6548. And when I said publishing, she's not a publisher, but she's been around publishers, and she can give you some insight on something you might want to look out for or want to know about. Anyway, Amy, when you write your books, you have to do a whole bunch of research. Really, the characters are fictional, but a lot of the stuff in the book is actual history and stuff, isn't it?
Yes, my main character is the research librarian, actually the head research librarian from the New York Public Library. And she has one of those card catalogs for mine. And I have to do all kinds of research as far as the places that they're going, the legends they meet up with, and I have to because I don't like books that don't, you know, if you're going to say you're writing historical fiction or you're going to have a historical place in your book, I really like to delve into it. I need to know about it. I need to know what it looks like, what it feels like, what it would be like if you walked in that place. I mean, if you walked on Acropolis in Athens, how would you feel? Things like that. So I trace this back, and I really get very into it. And even though my characters are present day, and all this is happening in the present day, they are going to these locations. And I use a variety of sources, actually a company called, an organization called UNESCO. They're a company that's in endangered locations. They go there, they protect them, and all this stuff. So they have a great amount of information about each place. And, of course, my mother was a research librarian. So growing up as a researcher, I spent a great deal of time in the library and ended up absolutely just loving every part of being in the library and being able to learn about all these things. So that's what Talent Lowry is all about. There's going to be 7 total, and each one takes about 3 to 4 different locations and actually links them together. And the fun part about it is I get all these letters from people who are reading the book and saying, I had to put down the book and I rushed to Google because I wanted to see what this place was all about. And then I get letters from librarians, which is really nice because they say they're really enjoying these. And that's how he feels, a librarian. So my character is a bit sarcastic, and they love her. So I'm very proud of making the librarians out there very happy.
Well, that's very good. And Amy's website is therightcompanion.com, and that's WRITE companion.com.
Right.
And Amy, somebody was sitting down to write a book. Let's just say they was not sure on how to do it. What is your best advice?
Don't worry about it. Everybody gets so nervous at the very beginning, and especially nowadays when everybody automatically thinks of being, you know, Stephen King or J.K. Rowling. It'd be really nice to, of course, and everybody wants to be. But nowadays with the internet and all of these World Wide Web, Facebooks, Twitters, you know, LinkedIn, all of this stuff that you have right now, and a million authors out there who truly want to review your book and help you get your brand up and going, you have to make sure that you come from a media point of view. I mean, as a writer, sitting in a room, you know, putting your story on paper, don't ever stop doing that. Don't ever be too afraid or throw it in a desk drawer and say, oh, well, forget it. You never, ever give up. You don't stop if a query letter is turned down. You don't stop if someone says, well, it's not my thing, because just because it's not one person's thing doesn't mean there's not 8 other publishers out there and it would be their thing. So the best advice I can give to anybody who's writing is do not give up no matter what. If this is what you want to do and this is what you believe in and you have something to say, then write it. And the rest will literally take care of itself. Very hard work after it's all done. But to actually get a creation on paper, that is what you should be the most proud of.
Isn't that the biggest fear? They want to be perfect right away rather than write and let perfection take care of?
Well, yeah. Well, everybody wants to be perfect, right? Everybody wants to be the best writer you've ever read in your entire life. You know what? I can promise you that Jane Austen, Stephen King, Dean Koontz, anybody that you can possibly think of here that is your favorite author, that you actually run to the library to get the second their book out, they weren't perfect, and they weren't worried about being perfect. They made creations that are outstanding. They became big names because they knew to write. They were perfect. I mean, I can tell you a lot of people that, you know, you'll have a million people who don't like Twilight, but there's 600 million people who did. So it doesn't matter. When you get your audience and you get the people who care about what you're doing and they're very into your character, then you're lucky. And but don't try to be perfect. It's absolutely impossible to do that.
Our imperfections make it perfect for learning lessons. And that's just something to open your
eyes
to.
Exactly. And no fictional character is perfect either. They're supposed to have their imperfections because that's why your audience relates to them.
And that's the thing about life. We try to be too perfect and fit in everybody else's life than live our own, I feel.
Well, sure, perfection's nice, but just as long as you're following your dream, which sounds like a really Hallmark card thing to say, but too many people give up because it's too hard or because they've been turned down and it hurts. I know it hurts. If this is what you believe me, one of these days it hit and it's going to do exactly what you want it to do. So you know, you can't worry about the end result. You've got to worry about being true to yourself and true to your character. The very first series I did was The Angel Chronicles, and the third book, I should mention here, the third book and final book in that series is coming out in April. And we just put the cover up on Facebook and Goodreads and all over the place. And it's called A Privilege. And those books, I began the very first book in that series 10 years ago and threw it in a drawer because everybody, literally everybody, sent me back a letter to my query letter that said they wouldn't publish. They thought it was bad. They wanted to publish vampires, werewolves, et cetera, but they were not willing. And all of a sudden, they did. So if I had given up, then those books, you know, would have not happened. And that would break my heart because those were, you know, the series is fantastic, and I've been very lucky to have been able to write it.
And that's very true, but we all try to give up, don't we? Because success is there, rather than it's daring you to abandon it. And that's what writing's about, daring you to write something that's neat. Isn't that what you feel? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think you're daring yourself. I mean, every day, well, I think we dare ourselves to get up in the morning sometimes. You know, I mean, we're all going to have bad days and we're all going to have good ones. But writing is a very personal thing to do. It's not like a 9-to-5. I'm at 9-to-5, and that's not a person, it's a business situation. You do your job, you do it right, and you know, you make money for your family, and you do it well, or you try to do it well. With writing, you're talking about one person, yourself, with your own head, inside your own little room, or wherever you decide to type, and it's all about you. It's all about your character, and it's very, very, very personal. So it is a dare, you know, to keep going and to accept, you know, accept it when people say, oh, well, I think this should be changed here or this should be changed here. Take their advice, you know, work with their advice. There's no such thing as bad advice, but make sure that your book is true to yourself. And even though you think you're going to get you're heartbroken when the query lets back and say we don't want it, don't do that because somebody is going to want it. It's going to want it. So don't get up when somebody says no because, you know, next week somebody could say yes.
Well, that's it. What did Colonel Sanders get turned down 1,008 times before he finally... Yes. Edison on the light bulb was 5,000 many, many times. So it's really not letting no just means that it's one avenue to shut down and another one's opening. But when you sit down and write books, do you sit down and write them all at once, or does it take a couple days, a couple weeks, or different things for every book? Different time periods.
Well, it's different things for every book. Yeah, the talent lobby takes a long amount of time because it is research. And I have to research every location that they're going to go to. And I have to make sure that when I link these puzzles, I'm personal and I'm linking them within my own head. But I have to make sure that I know everything I can know about Petra or the Acropolis or the Nazis in 1945 or, you know, whatever I'm working with, whatever material I'm working with at the time, I have got to make sure that I understand those locations and that I'm telling the truth. It's just all personal. It comes from the base of my soul, and it just came about a long time ago, And I just kept going, and you know, now two are out, and people are loving them, and now the third one's going to come out in April, and you know, make it all a one. Give them middle and end. That's what I'm really proud of. And like I said, if I had given up on it, then Emily and Matthew, which are the Angel Warrior team, they never would have seen the light of day, and that. You know, that would have broke my heart. So I'm just glad I kept going. But they each are different time periods.
You know, yeah, and you know, the thing is, you actually get to open up your own creative stuff when you're doing somebody else's, or when you're starting to write, you actually open up your other part of your life to new opportunities, or new way to live, don't you feel, Amy? Yep, Skype and Blog Talk had an argument there for a minute.
Ah, well, maybe one's a Democrat, one's a Republican, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Or maybe.
Yeah, no, I see the world in a different way now. I started off as an editor, and I did for about 20 years back in Connecticut, New York. So now that I'm on the right path instead, and I've been writing for 15 years now, and it's only been recently, it's only been in the last 7 to 8 years where my books have been, you know, getting out there. So, like I said, it's a very long process to get there, and each book takes its own amount of time, but if I had stopped, if I had given up and walked away, then I would have been upset that Emily and Matthew and now Talent Lowry, you know, now they're seeing the light of day. So that's why I keep going.
And, you know, that's the thing about it. You got to be too stubborn to quit, too hard-headed to know when you're beat. You got to be vulnerable to be able to change directions in a heartbeat because you're cutting horse.
Exactly. Exactly. And, of course, editing and writing are certainly different. When I edit, I have to leave all this behind. You know, I must see all the products, so this is their personal story. And you have to, as an editor, make sure that you not only have a relationship with the author, you really have to be close to the author and talk to them and listen to them and understand exactly where they're coming from, because their stuff is not your stuff. And you have to put that editor's cap on and not only clean it up, you know, editing is not just make sure everything's spelled correctly. You have to make sure the flow of the story goes really, really well so that people out there really glom onto the story. You know, they want to read more. So as an editor, you have to be more of a business person and a business mindset. But you also want to make sure, you know, and I tell editors this all the time, you have to make sure that you get along with the author and that they get along with you. Because if there's not a relationship there, then it just becomes one of these things where, you know, you send somebody $500 or $1,000, they send you back your book in about 6 months with a couple of changes on it. And that's not an editing job. You have to work at editing just as you have to work with writing. So you always want to make sure you find an editor that you really get along with.
And also, you can go on to the writecompanion.com and can see where Amy's blog is. It's the angel-chronicles.blogspot.com. Let me reread that. It's the angel-chronicles.blogspot.com. And how important is it for a blog?
Oh, very. It's a blog now. You know, nowadays you're becoming a brand. You know, it used to be just Levi or Coca-Cola or somebody who needed a brand, but we all need a brand now. Your audience needs to know who are. You answer questions. I mean, you should do interviews. You should do any blogger contact you. You should answer their questions and give them the inside skinny on the book and get them to read your book, and you really do have to, you know, be friends with your fans. Of course, you should be, because, you know, it's a privilege to have fans. So, but you need to blog. You definitely need to be able to show everybody what you're doing, how you're going, things like that. So it's a way to reach millions of people, whereas, you know, a long time ago, we weren't able to reach anybody. So it's a great way to get to know people. And I love the Angel Chronicles blog because people really do Emily Matthews, and being able to speak to everybody about them is great. And now the Talent Library books, which are adult fiction, the Angel Chronicles are young adult. Now it's a whole different world with adventure and people who are very into suspense, adventure and history and historical things, et cetera. So now it's a whole different avenue. And so I get fans from both sides, from the adult fiction side and the young adult fiction side. And it's a great way to meet people, and it's a great way to get your story. So if you have something to say, again, you want a blog to be able to tell people what's coming up next.
And also, Amy, is it important to really be free in your thinking and reel it loose and really get the imagination animated to write a book?
Oh, God. And let yourself go. You know, there are people, everybody writes in a different way. Like, there are people out there who can sit down and put aside 1 hour every day to write. And that's great. I mean, that's great. I'm the type of person who can do that. I have to write when it hits. And, you know, one day I could write, you know, 15 chapters and stay up 48 hours straight. And then for a week, I can't write at all. So, you know, I have to write when the inspiration is there. And other people said to be far more scheduled with that. I don't think either way is like the correct way. I think it's all about thinking. You feel comfortable with to make your books into a success. So, you know, you can set up whatever schedule you'd like to, but as long as you're being true to yourself and like the way you're writing. It's opening your mind.
And I want to touch a little bit about ghostwriting. People don't really understand. People an insight to ghostwriting.
Well, I have to say, out of everything, writing your own books is difficult, but probably not for you yourself. If you have something to say, you know how to say it. Ghostwriting is very difficult. Somebody, an author can have an entire layout for you, chapter by chapter, but they don't know how to actually write it. They'll give you all thoughts, or ideas. If it's nonfiction, they'll give you a timeline of everything happens, when it happens. But it's a very, very deep project. Once writing comes along, you have to be in contact with that author a great deal, because you have no idea about this certain instance. You know, you can't just make it up, because their idea, it's their life and it's their story. And a ghostwriting takes a very long time, because you have to be as happy with the project as you are, and you can't just write your own stuff. That's not how it goes. They have their own material, and you have to work off the material. You can change things if you'd like to and bounce ideas off of each other. But ghostwriting, if you're going to get into that particular area, you have to make sure you have a lot of time to spend, and you have to make sure that you're always available for the author.
When you start with a ghostwriter, how does that relationship really have to be on an even smooth keel and everybody on the same page?
Well, it has to be. Every page. I mean, you're talking with ghostwriting, it's more of a friendship. With an editor, it's a relationship. Editor, I don't want to say is in charge, because they're not. But they're bringing their skill to the product, as far as making it clean, you know, making it flow so that you know you're all like it. you know, making the author understand when various things don't work, things like that. So it's actually more of a give and take. But with the ghostwriting, that is a very personal relationship, because all you're working with, they want you to write it for them because they just don't have that particular skill, but they have something to say. And that's really, I mean, you've got to be available 24/7 for an author if you're going to do something like that. And all the authors out there, be very, very careful. Okay? I don't like certain things I see where somebody says, oh, I'll be your editor or your ghostwriter for $10,000, for $5,000, $1,000. That's a lot of money. Okay? Most, 80% of us, you know, are starving artists. You know, we're 9-5ers. We go out and have a job. We come back and do this when we can. You know, we have family support stuff. We don't have $2,000 in our pocket hand to us today and just hope for the best. So be very, very careful when you get an editor or a ghostwriter that they are a person that you can trust, that are clearly loyal to you and your project, who will get it done in the agreed amount of time that's supposed to be done, and that's there it can take. And watch out for these prices out there, because some of them are, oh my God, they're ridiculous. So be just make sure that you explore every option you have before laying down money. Because, you know, a lot of writers that end up with me, you know, I've met two or three that unfortunately had someone before me who, wow, they charged them so much money. They didn't give their book back for, God, like 7 months, and the book could have been done in 4 weeks. So just be clear, that's all. I'm not saying anybody's good or bad. I'm just saying very careful, because your book means a lot to you, so make sure it means a lot to them too.
And the books are until the Angel Chronicle books are until next time, Gilded Wings, with the new book coming out in April, and the Talent Lowry 13 is Talent Lowry series on Lowry 13, and the Storm, the Sapphire Storm, all available on Amazon and all over, aren't they, Amy?
Oh yeah, all over Amazon, Barnes and Noble, everywhere. The Angel Chronicles, though, it's Until Next Time, and it's Gilded Wings. And then the new one coming out in April is going to be called A Privilege. So that's the third and final one in that series.
And anyway, so people go to Amazon, and here's the thing. If you're looking to have a ghostwriter and editor, did you hear the power and the integrity in Amy's voice and how honest she was? How would you like to have that as your editor or ghostwriter, or even give you some hints on publishing? What is one thing people should watch out for when they find a publisher?
Oh, a publisher? Well, don't upset if you don't get Random House and the big guns. There are so many mid-sized publishers right now, and independent publishers and e-book publishers that are seriously loyal, and they're great at their job. So, you know, don't just say, if I can't have Random House, forget it, because that's silly. I work with my YA books are with Tributes. They're a fantastic publisher. And, you know, the Talent Lowry are with Suspense Publishers out of California. All of these guys are great. Just make sure that they're loyal. That's all. And I was just lucky to fall into two publishing companies that are just unbelievably fantastic people. So, you know, just be careful.
WriteCompanion.com if you want to get a hold of Amy. Amy, we have the last few seconds here. Give them some wisdom, and I'm going to close out the show.
Well, I hope you can all ride high with the end for Angel Chronicles. Like I said, in April, Talent Lowry will be going on for the next year. Never give up. You know, what's that old line? Never give up, never surrender. And keep writing. Have fun.
And that is the the end of the show, and I'm going to thank all listeners and everybody. And everybody have a good week. We'll be here next Tuesday night, and we'll see you then. And everybody have a good weekend and good night.